Pete was more than almost anyone responsible for making songs from other places become part of the popular culture in this country. Songs from the Caribbean, songs from Latin America, songs from Africa. He always had a song from somewhere. They have become part of the fabric of the culture without anybody really knowing how it happened.
The Weavers had no competition in popular music, but roots music and boogie-woogie were spreading by radio. From Memphis, Howling Wolf played blues on KWEM. From New Orleans, listeners heard Fats Domino on the piano. The young Elvis Presley was staying up nights listening to all this on the radio. At the same time, Pete Seeger and the Weavers were singing African freedom songs such as Whim Away. Don McLean.
Being in show business just in itself is a heavy number. But being in show business with a social conscience in 1948 is a... If you know the story of Whim Away, the real story of Whim Away, what it means to the people of Africa, who the lion is, and why he's going to rise.
The legend says Chaka the lion didn't die when the Europeans took over our country. He simply went to sleep, and he'll wake up someday. Here we go, bases first. Ready? Right again.
In 1952, ex-FBI agents operated a loyalty clearinghouse. They work with Senator Joseph McCarthy to fake testimony. Here are the words of Harvey Mattuso.
I arrived at this office building. On the top floor, I walked to a double frosted glass door with the words counterattack and American business consultants in simple black type across the door. It was here I got my first training in how to use the names of well-known people in the theatrical world to my advantage as a money-making witness. We discussed the careers of a well-known quartet who, at the time, had the top-selling phonograph record in the United States. One of its members was listed in red channels, but there was nothing that could be pinned on the group specifically. They could not be placed in the Communist Party. Having known all four of them, not as communists, but as friends, I triumphantly said, I know them, and they are communists. Both the editors gave me rewarding glances, as if saying, keep that up, and you'll make out all right.
Though you have seized the valiant few whose glories cast a shade on you, how can you now go home with ease? Jangling your heavy dungeon keys. When you have seized both moon and sun and jailed the poems one by one and trapped each troublemaking breeze, then you can throw away your keys. Build high, your prison.
Ronnie Gilbert.
We lost our livelihood, we lost our careers, we lost the sense that we were living in a democratic society.
There's a lot of naivety in that group. Pete's a very naive guy in a lot of ways. Yeah, and Lee is very naive, childlike.
Don McLean.
This would explain the feeling, oh yeah, sure, we'll get a group together and we'll sing songs about everybody from every land and we'll get people to see each other and shake hands and get to know each other and it'll be great. And suddenly, whack, down comes the axe.
Woody was right. It's a good experience to sing in bars. We started off singing very flossy ones, then got lower and lower as the Blacklist crowded us in. And finally, we're down to places like Daffy's Bar and Grill on the outside of Cleveland, a popular Cleveland nightclub. The Cleveland Red Squad was there to check who's coming to hear us. And the Cleveland American Legion had tried to get Daffy's to cancel us. And he'd refused to. He says, no, it's just music. Quit hassling me. I'll call out my men on you, you know. Some of these places were mafia controlled, I think.
They call him up to Washington to speak for Uncle Sam. But when they ask him what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd yell so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way.
I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and bar and cow.
I like this private ownership. I want to be left alone.
Let the government run its business and let me run my own.
The subcommittee will please come to order. Again, I want to say that we appreciate the cooperation of people within the hearing room. We will not have disturbance here. We'll just go about our business. Mr. Aaron's calling the next witness.
On February 7, 1952, Harvey Mattuso testified before the House Committee on Un-American Activities. As he later wrote in his autobiography, he gave false testimony, claiming he knew the Weavers were communists. That night, the Weavers' fall began.
Smoking, all covered with snow. I lost my true love.
At any time,
for talking
sense. Are you now or have you at any time been a member of the Communist Party?
The headlines didn't give the Weavers much of a chance. In November 1950, while Goodnight Irene topped the hit parade, Douglas MacArthur's troops were advancing across Korea.
And now for the news. From the White House comes news that an armistice will soon be signed in Korea between the United Nations forces and the communists. President Eisenhower has announced that the Chinese and North Koreans have definitely agreed...
In April 1951, as So Long It's Been Good to Know You hit the charts, the Rosenbergs were sentenced to death for allegedly betraying America's atom bomb secrets. And according to the Freedom of Information Act, J. Edgar Hoover himself was circulating documents about the Weavers. Pete Seeger.
The two rabbits were chased by some hounds, and finally they couldn't run anymore, and they holed up in a hollow log. And the hounds were baying all around. And the two little rabbits were inside this log, but it was too small for the dogs to get inside the log. And the boy turned to the girl rabbit and says, what'll we do? And she says, we stay here till we outnumber them. Woody says, we just hang on, we're gonna outnumber them.
Step by step along this march, can be one. Many stones can form an arch, singly none. And by union what we will, can be accomplished ill. Drops of water turn a mill. Singly none, singly none. Step by step, the longest march can be won, can be won. Many stones can form an arch. Singly none, singly none. And by union what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill. Singly none, singly none.
Pete went underground and started doing the $50 bookings, the $25 dates at the schoolhouses and auditoriums, and then eventually the college campuses.
Don McLean.
Oberlin was the first one, I think he told me. He definitely pioneered what we now know as the college circuit. He's been out there like Kilroy, sowing seeds at a grassroots level for many, many, many years.
A soldier whose life is going into battle often looks forward to a battle, better than just sitting rotting in the trenches. The funny thing is, I don't remember being troubled.
We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight. We have to hold. We have to. We got to hold. We got to hold up the bloodstained banner. We got to hold it up until we die. Well, I'm glad I've been converted. I got my hand on the gospel power. Now one day I'll get old, I can't fight anymore, but I'll just stand here and fight on anyhow. Oh, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight. Oh, we have to. We got a hold. We got a hold. Oh, take it home. We got to hold it until we die.
You sound pretty.
When Pete Seeger could no longer harmonize with the Weavers because of the blacklist, he found a singing group at every stop, his audience, Holly Near.
He doesn't demand it, he invites it. It's kind of not only saying, will you sing? He's saying, will you remember who you are and come be that person with me for a while?
We are climbing Jacob's ladder.
Student was much intrigued when I showed him that you could make a canon out of a cowboy song which he had known very well. I wonder if you ever stopped to think of it. Oh, Brandy, leave me.
Oh, Brandy, leave me.
My heart,
so Brandy, you broke my Brandy, you
Starting in the mid-1950s, something new happened, a second folk music revival like the one the Seeger and Lomax families had imagined in the 30s. Kids who'd grown up and gone to college still liked the old songs Seeger sang. They booked him, and they booked him. America's second folk music revival had the public singing along. Arlo Guthrie.
There's a feeling of American unity, and maybe even global, a universal unity, in singing songs that mean different things to different people, and allowing the guy next to you to let him have his meaning, and you're singing along with your own. The real practical benefit of seeing people sing together is that if they can learn to sing together, they can probably learn to do other things together. Well, once that's successful, you learn to listen to each other in all kinds of other ways. It opens the listening door that stays open during the rest of your life. I think Pete has always understood that. I think that is basically the religion that he subscribes to, is that if everybody would just sing together and listen to each other, then they'd learn to do all these other things together.
In 1955, Seeger was called before the House Committee on Un-American Activities, UAC. But instead of taking the Fifth Amendment and walking away, he chose to cite the more troublesome First Amendment in his own version, freedom of song.
Mr. Seeger, you specifically declined the protection of the Fifth Amendment and are refusing to answer the committee's questions. Can you tell us why?
Well, I told the committee that in all my life, I've never committed any kind of act, conspiratorial or even conducive. And I resented the implication that by being called before the committee, that because my opinions might be different than Mr. Walters, he has a right to his opinion, I have to mine.
I wanted to be more brash. Paul Ross says, don't do anything rash, Pete. Just answer the questions. Or don't answer them, but don't try and make speeches. And I wish that I could have done, of course, like Paul Robeson. He just stood up and says, you are the un-Americans. And he said, sit down. He said, I will not sit down. You are the un-Americans.
Morning, got an invitation to help Congress out in an investigation. Man came around and knocking at the door, gave me a paper that said, what for? Subpoena. Well, you brush your hair and you dress real pretty. You got a date with the Un-American Committee. Take the stand, they swear you in. Are you now or have you ever been? Were you ever sympathetic or interested in? When did you start? How long did it last? Tell us all about your interesting past. Answer yes or no.
You said you'd never engaged in any conspiracy before in your entire life. Do you consider the Communist Party a conspiracy? The same thing I told Mr. Walden, my own opinions, how I voted in the election, my own affairs.
Last summer, some people asked me if I knew a certain song, and they made out like it was a terrible song, some real awful about this song. And I offered to sing it for them and said, no, we don't want you to sing it. But I figured, you know, you're a captive audience here, that I would sing it for you. Because it adds up pretty much what I think of all the songs we sang. Our fathers bled at Valley Forge. The snow was red with blood. Their faith was won at Valley Forge. Their faith was brotherhood. Isn't that a time? Wasn't that a time? I'm trying to try the soul of man that terrible time. And brave men died at Gettysburg and lie in soldiers' graves, but there they stand, the slavery tied, and there the faith was saved. Wasn't that a time? The soul of man, wasn't that a terrible time? The fascists came with chains and war to prison us in hate, and many a goal good man fought and died to save the stricken faith. Wasn't that a time? Wasn't that a time to try? The soul of man is so wonderful. Isn't this so wonderful time? The gloomy night before us flies, its reign of terror now is o'er, its gags, inquisitors, and spies, its herds of harpies are no more. Rejoice, Columbia sons, rejoice, to tyrants never bend the knee. Join with heart and soul and host for Jefferson and liberty.
I got 1 year for each count, and there were 10 counts to be served simultaneously.
And a $5,000 fine in the days when that would buy a house. He couldn't leave the Southern District of New York without advance permission. It turned out that didn't matter, because the judge ordered him held without bail for contempt of Congress. You've been listening to one in a series of documentaries on America's folk song revivals, drawn from How Can I Keep From Singing? The Ballad of Pete Seeger. This program was written and produced by David Dunaway with Sid Finley, engineer. Additional assistance from Molly Beer, Amanda Choi, Felicia Karras, Dina Nez, Ellis Shapiro, and the Authentic History website. For copies of this broadcast, visit PeteSeeger.org. Most of Pete Seeger's recordings are available from Smithsonian Folkways Records. This program was funded in part by the National Endowment for the Arts, the New Mexico Endowment for the Humanities, and Public Radio International. Thanks for listening.